May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Well, the day is the Feast of the Epiphany. Deacon Bracken read from the story. It's a great story. I should preach from that, but I'm not going to. And what I'm going to speak about, I'm not even sure it's going to come full circle in terms of a word that starts here and ends up here, except it just, the Lord just sort of blew my mind this morning. I was reading a story. I was just reading some stuff in my prayer time, and he was telling a story about an experience he had when he was 12 years old. He's from Mississippi, and he went with his dad to the Superdome to watch the New Orleans Saints play the Minnesota Vikings. And it was a big deal. He went with his dad and had a great relationship with his dad. And somehow, when the game ended, everybody was going to the buses, like the tour buses, and the buses would take them back to their hotels and whatever. He got separated from his dad. And it was a long journey. The story was sort of a long story. He ended up trying to find him. He couldn't find anybody. He couldn't find anybody familiar. He circled the stadium three times. It was in the evening. At some point, they finally turned the lights out of the stadium. He said he'd never felt darkness like that in his entire life. So he was running around the streets of that part of New Orleans on Canal Street and looking into trolleys, and eventually made his way back to the stadium and just leaned against a tree there just outside the stadium in the darkness. And he said it felt like it was hours. And he said it was the worst time in his life. And he was speaking of this as something happened like 40-something years earlier in his life, because he felt so lost. And one of the statements that he made is that you can't be lost if you don't have a home. And that he felt so separated and lost from what seemed right and secure and safe to him. And then at some point in that experience, the stadium lights all came on again. And so he jumped up and thought, well, something's going on. Maybe somebody's here. And he's running around. And then piercing through the darkness, he heard a voice that was familiar speaking his name. And it was his dad yelling out his name, who had had the stadium lights turned on because he'd been looking for him. And he remembered how that made him feel. It made him feel secure and assured and at rest. And all the fears were gone. You see, I think that's what it's like in Christ. I think that's what it's like. Particularly, there's this place, one of the things he said is like it restored hope to him instead of anxiety and fear. And then when he noticed that he had hope, he stopped thinking about himself and he began to be concerned about other people that might be lost running around that nobody knows about. Faith gives birth to hope, which gives birth to charity. And the scripture says that we're born again to a living hope through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love the place in Acts that talks about that during the time between the resurrection and ascension, he was continually presenting himself alive to the people. And it's awesome that we know. I'll just read this verse to you. Romans chapter 5, verse 10 says, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." So it's one thing for the death of his Son to remove all the alienation and the barriers, but it's another thing that when he joined us to himself in his resurrection, and that we came alive in his resurrection, one with him. And because of our oneness with him, our union with him, we live every day with living hope because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, that no matter what else may be going on, that's our home. That's what we were created. We were created to be in that kind of relationship with God. And I thought about Mary. I talked about Mary some yesterday, not Mary the mother of Jesus, but Mary of Bethany, Mary Magdalene, who was always at the feet of Jesus. I think she loved him probably more than anyone, maybe even more than his mom. And in the John passage of the resurrection, it lets us know that Mary was the first person that Jesus revealed himself to in the resurrection. Now you think of this person who had been a former prostitute and who in his presence for the first time she ever met him in Luke chapter 7, it's recorded, her life was transformed. In the presence of his fierce and relentless and unconditional love, she experienced for the first time in her life, I guess, at least in her adult life, someone who loved her unconditionally, didn't want something from her. And she was delivered from 7 demons. Jesus said she loved much because she'd been forgiven much. I mean, she had a sense that the love was so strong, just the love of Christ set her free from the demonic. I think that says a lot to how we often try to create formulas, you know, go to classes and learn how to do the demonic stuff right. Maybe if they just encounter the love of Christ unfiltered, it wouldn't be such a formula, just an encounter. But I wanted to share all that just to say how much she loved him and how much she, her heart was his. History even tells us that she spent the rest of her life after the ascension, after being filled with the Spirit, just leading people to Christ. And most of her life she spent as an intercessor, living in a cave, and would come out of the cave and go perform signs and wonders and give her life to others. But in this John passage, let me just read this to you. I thought about this in light of the story this man told, that when he heard his name spoken. Verse 15, and when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, verse 11 of chapter 20. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, because Peter and John had come, the tomb was empty, and as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb, and she beheld two angels in white sitting at the head and one at the feet, and where the body of Jesus had been lying. And she said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord. I do not know where they have laid him." And that's lost. And when she had said this, she turned around and behold Jesus standing there. And she didn't know that it was Jesus. And then Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener. She said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Isn't it amazing that nobody else was concerned about that? She was the one person there. And Jesus said to her, "Mary." Just like that dad spoke in the darkness and said the name, and by saying that name, he knew everything was different than he thought it was. He didn't feel lost anymore. He knew everything was okay. He was home. Jesus was Mary's home. As a matter of fact, in the story, we see everybody going back to their home, but Mary, it's like she had no home to go back to. Even though Lazarus and Martha were there, she had given herself to him so that she was not going to go back to her home until she found him, because he was her home. And all he did was say her name. He just pierced the darkness and said her name. And she turned and said to him in Rabbi, in her Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. And he said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren. Say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." I think she encountered the risen Lord. She knew everything was okay. But I think about in my life how many times, my fault, could be the enemy's fault. Maybe you've never been there where you just feel like you're lost. And I don't think she understood all that this meant, but it's pretty significant that he was alive. Where I felt lost, felt just terrible, yucky, spiritually, emotionally. The warfare has been intense. Things are going on, I don't understand. And then he just says my name. And when he says my name, I remember that my home is him, and he's not lost, and that it's going to be okay. The risen Christ is my home, and therefore there's always hope, because if he can conquer death, he can conquer anything that I've found myself in, even any mess that I've created for myself. When we talk about the name of Jesus, and we love how much the name of Jesus means to us, but do you understand how much your name means to him? He says to us in Song of Solomon that your voice is sweet to him, and your presence feels like home to him. That's the word lovely there in Hebrew. Your presence is home to him. And I know that's not really deep and not really heavy, and it doesn't carry a lot of powerful insight, but I'm just telling you, you find yourself in a place like that, kind of lost in the darkness, just get quiet and see if Jesus doesn't speak your name. And see if that alone isn't enough to change everything. And for you to remember that she was there, the angels were there, but Jesus came to her and revealed himself to her. Jesus is always looking for me in darkness. And when I finally sit down under the tree, and usually when I think all is lost, Jesus speaks my name. The risen Christ, the conquering Christ, the victorious Christ, the overcoming Christ. And I know that I'm home. Things are okay. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.